A62. Number 22A.
We consider now these seven main editions and try to pinpoint the main tones with the following purpose. One purpose is to show the tonality, so that by depicting the problem that has been supermost in those editions, we can see if we have enough tonality of the seven synonymous term within ourselves to detect that. Because wouldn't you agree with me that if anybody in the Christian Science field who does not know the seven synonymous terms like we do, if they would investigate this subject and would do the same reading, it's not a big reading, it's usually 20 pages in each edition, would you agree with me that they would not see a definite line of development? Because they could not define the subject through the seven synonymous terms. You see? So one can see the value of knowing the seven synonymous terms, because they are the ordering principle in the subject. We know that those seven synonymous terms, and read with that consciousness the text, then that consciousness puts the problem of a text into the proper classification of the seven synonymous term, and then we can see, oh, here the whole accent was only on mind. Then afterwards, oh, this didn't work properly because that was not seen from the aspect of spirit. And then we can see, oh, because that was not seen properly, we all had to travel in the aspect of soul with Marisha's animal magnetism, etc. So that we get a clear, ordered line of reasoning and an ordered line of culturing our consciousness. And then another purpose of it would be to see that these questions are questions which we also have, and therefore which we also have to dissolve in order to be able to read the last edition from the highest standpoint and get the fullest impact. The further purpose today is that you will see that these seven editions bring up subjects that are now in the world of greatest importance. See now, that whole question of animal magnetism is no more just something which is peculiar to the peculiar Christian Scientists, but that it's now general to the general public. And therefore, the community as a whole, the modern world as a whole, the Western world as a whole, has to see through it in order to handle what is coming. Because we know that the material age has drawn to a close, and the material age was comparatively safe and good compared with the new age that is coming, the mental age, because the mental age has no more such reliable laws as matter. With matter we could really rely on the laws of matter, you know. It was really heaven in comparison to what's coming. We knew with matter that if I drop a book, it is going down and not upward, and it's not flying around the room. We know that. It's so reliable. Huh? We know that we can't step out of the window, but that we'd have to take the staircase to go down. We can rely on those laws. Huh? But when the mental age breaks in, as it's breaking in today, hell is let loose. Because then you can no more rely. You have then to see actually right through the mental and rely on the spiritual, or we are unsafe, absolutely unsafe. Because the hidden way of mental action is something that is not so easily seen as matter. And the workings, the laws of mortal mind, and the workings of the laws of the mental is not seen so much as the laws of matter. So we are facing a new era, certainly, that carries within itself a lot of uncertitude, the hiddenness of power, of mortal power, evil power, and that can only be handled if we go right to the third big period that has to come afterwards, to the spiritual. The mental is always a transitional period. Okay, we go to the first edition, and we know from the first edition that it was that period when Mrs. Eddy had written Science and Health without mentioning animal magnetism. And we know that the printer stopped printing the book until Mrs. Eddy was ready to write those passages on animal magnetism which she put at the beginning of the chapter Christian Science Practice. And only then the printer went on. That was her first inclination she had of the importance of animal magnetism and the influence it exercises over the community. Now, when we, and this would so to say be an indication for us that actually every teaching in the right line must be somehow accompanied by seeing through the influence of animal magnetism trying to sidetrack, to hinder the teaching of the idea. There is always that lurking error there which seems that until our consciousness is absolutely transparent, that there is some way, a leak somewhere in our consciousness through which something can enter that is endangering the idea. What did she say in that first main edition? What was the main problem? And now we can see that the main problem is all about the, from the point of view of mind, namely, that she says the trouble is, first of all, that animal magnetism is unknown. That nobody really is aware of animal magnetism, of the lurking power of animal magnetism. Can you hear the tone of mind that we should know the phenomena of animal magnetism, that we should learn about the phenomena of animal magnetism? And therefore, she says, now you get again the tone of mind, she says, therefore, what is necessary is that the students are informed about this phenomena. Information is necessary. She says, not only the students need to know, also the whole community needs to know about the phenomena of animal magnetism. As far as I have heard recently, it is this, that in this country apparently there is already now some kind of awakening where people begin to see that the community and the world at large should be enlightened about the danger of psychology and of all the mental thing that is going on. Apparently there is already now in this country, I can't define it too clearly because I haven't enough information about it, that it seems that people begin to awake and see that not everything is so good about psychology and psychiatry, that it is much more like the Pandora box, that it multiplies evil instead of getting rid of evil. And I mean, it's a terrific sign. The statistics I have read about 2 months ago or so, that apparently every six American, one out of six, is in his lifetime going through a mental treatment, psychic treatment, mentally disordered, mentally deranged. This is a high percentage. That wasn't so in earlier age. When psychology was not known, that was not so. People were steadier, were healthier mentally and psychologically. So psychology is not such a remedial agent as it seems to be. And that's what Mrs. Eddy brings out, you see, that it says, apparently it seems to help, but when you look deeper into it, you can see that it never helps, that it makes the case worse, and that it doesn't really bring to the nation's health anything, but that it weakens the nation's health. And you can see that very easily. If the individual doesn't find his strength and his reliance, what he used to find in God or in religion, if he doesn't find that in the spiritual and is dependent on all those various psychological treatments, he's really to be pitied. So at that time, you see, as the very first point, Mrs. Eddy began to see actually the student should be informed, the community should be informed. She said they should know about the hidden influence of animal magnetism. They shouldn't shut their eyes. Can you see, it's a terrific sense of mind awakening, mind that wants to enlighten thought, that wants to inform thought about the problem so that it is not laying dormant, and every error that lays dormant has a terrific ability to spring into action and take us by surprise. She further stipulates in that first edition that the whole subject of animal magnetism should be investigated. A great sense to investigate it, not to shut one's eye. Can you hear investigation, an idea of mind? So we have already mind that should know the knowing of animal magnetism, information, investigation, showing now also that animal magnetism is a force at work. Now she depicts animal magnetism from the point of view of mind. Here in the negative nature, saying it's a force, it's a power, it actually does work. Interestingly enough, in that first edition, she doesn't yet show that divine mind is all power. That's very interesting to see that at that time the reader must have got the feeling, you see, that animal magnetism has some kind of power. And she didn't say it is a so-called power. She waited until the last edition to say it's only a so-called power. She waited until much later to show that only mind is power. So you can see what a slow and terrific development has taken place. It has taken Mrs. Eddy actually round about 40 years really to find out what animal magnetism is, or I would say really how to state the nothingness of animal magnetism. In this first edition, she still speaks about the mental practice, not about the spiritual practice. And one can see that this has been an aspect, really, of animal magnetism at that time, that the students actually didn't see that the healing practice was a spiritual practice. It was for them a mental practice, a thought practice, a thought transfer, and a thought power, a thought influence. And everything was on that level of thinking. And she would show, therefore, in that first edition, that animal magnetism is an influence. how you get the influence of Ayana Magnita. That is an influence that can influence people. And that in this influence of people, we must find how to control thought. And again, it is on the level of thinking, of mentality, and one can just see how at that age the practice was on the level of thought influence. You healed by better thoughts, by positive thinking. Don't you have still, after 100 years here in America, positive thinking? Huh? Yeah. In Christian Science and outside of Christian Science. Very much. I mean, the whole question of positive thinking, no matter if it's the other Peel, what is his name?
Norman Vincent Peel,
or if it's Murphy, or whoever it is, you know, they sell their book like hot cakes, and it's all that level which Mrs. Eddy had to uncover 100 years ago. That positive thinking is a very low kind of practice, that it is actually not Christian Science practice, that it is thought transference, thought power, mental practice. So she had to bring out that. Isn't it this the very first step in our lives? At the moment we have a feeling there is evil at work, and that evil is a power, that evil does influence us, that somehow the very first thing is that we say, I wonder what's all about. And you begin to wonder, you want to know, how does it work, what is it? You try to get information about it. Isn't that the way it starts? It starts first with that awakening. Well, that's a start, because it's not so obvious, because many people take the standpoint that Mrs. Eddy more or less took before that age, namely that they say, God is good, therefore there is no evil, so don't worry about it. Don't think about it, don't worry about it. Why handle evil if evil is nothing? You see, seems to be a very logical reasoning, very logical, but it has no sense in it, no power in it, because you don't know why God is all and good, and why evil is nothing. You only state it because somebody has said so. And a statement has no power. Only understanding and consciousness have power. So it isn't always so that everybody is willing to investigate the question of evil. I remember when I brought out that little pamphlet on notes of handling evil, and they tried to put it into a bookstore in New York. The one who had that bookstore said, oh, we don't take that, you know. Why should you handle evil if there is no evil? Just like that. See? So, this is the answer of the absolutists, but it's an answer of statement and not of knowing really why evil is nothing. Yes. Then, this was in the first edition, 1875, then you know how Mrs. Eddy at that time went through rather deep waters, just because of the very fact of animal magnetism, because she hasn't seen through it entirely. She was really cornered from every side. And it seemed as if really the ark was shaking, that the ark was leaking, and that the boat would sink. And in that period of great struggle, she published the second edition, the Noah Arks edition. She wanted to bring it out in 2 volumes, but only the second volume was printed. The first volume never was printed. That was 1878, and to my great joy, if I may say so, it's not very nice, it had a lot of printing errors in it. Just as my book on animal magnetism is the only book that has a lot of printing errors in it. Funny enough, it's full of printing errors. Full of printing errors that had not been seen by the editors. I don't know why. Because it has been edited by somebody so beautiful, so good, who has printed my earlier books with practically no mistakes in it. And that book on animal magnetism came out, even my name was misspelled on it, you know. Thank God practically nobody has noticed it. But I was at the point I wanted really to destroy it and print it all over again. We held the book back for many, many weeks and was wondering, shall we reprint it or not? That happened also to Mrs. Eddy in that Noah's Ark edition, in that second period of spirit, in the warfare of spirit, in the struggle of spirit, in the chemicalization that can only be taken care of by spirit. That Noah's Ark edition brings now the question of animal magnetism up in a completely new light, namely really the light of spirit that does not know any mingling. And the whole chapter there is all about showing the difference, see, spirit separates, the difference between mesmerism and metaphysics. That was her great battle cry, saying, oh, it's awful, you know, my students who should be metaphysicians, they are actually healing through mesmerism. And the mesmerists come along and say, we teach metaphysics and call themselves metaphysician. So the whole thing is just upside down, that the metaphysicians call themselves mesmerists and the mesmerists call them metaphysician. And there was no clear-cut distinction between the two. She therefore complains about the perversion of metaphysics into mesmerism. And why all this? Why all this? She could see now, somehow, a little bit, that the trouble was that because she didn't state in the first edition that mind is a mind with a capital M. She didn't capitalize mind in the first edition. So she only spoke about mind with a small m, and that naturally left all the doors open for mind to be mind, good mind, evil mind, minds many. It was just mind, not capitalized. Therefore, how could the students who were reading that you heal through mind know that it meant another mind than the mind they had? And so at that point she began to see already a little bit that she would have to capitalize mind. And she did it to a certain extent, not yet to a complete extent, and was beginning to speak at least about mind reading in contradiction to clairvoyance, to mortal mind reading, and showed that difference. She could see also that mind would have to be spirit in order to be mind, just as we saw it in our exercises. So that mind about which she was speaking in the first edition, which she did not capitalize. In the second edition, she said, that mind actually is a very ethical mind, a mind that is only good, and therefore has a moral attitude in it. She still spoke about the moral quality of mind, not yet the spiritual quality of mind, and said, I was teaching a mind that is only good. Why are you going to practice a mind also in an evil way? You know, she was at the very same, she met the very same problem that Mesmer met. You know, Mesmer was a good man. He never did any evil or intended any evil with his method. But he knew, after a while, that it could be misused. And he didn't tell anybody. But one of his students, just as Mrs. Eddy's student, Kennedy and so on, one of his students found it out. Yeah. You see, the Le Comte de Puységur found out that it could be used, misused. And he could see that with the misuse he could make more money than with the good use. Namely through hypnotism, you know, to take people who are easily hypnotized and then in the hypnotic state would perform all sorts of things, just as today they do it on the stage. And when Mesmer heard about it, he was just furious. He wrote him and said, I hope that nobody would ever find out, or if they would find it out, that they would keep it for themselves and not use it. Just like Mrs. Eddy, history repeats itself. It is not history that repeats itself. What repeats itself within us is just that, that mind must be spirit in order to be mind. That is the point. And it is so for us, the same, that at that second stage, we somehow have to see that when we speak about mind healing and mind reading, that is a capital M that has only the good qualities, the purpose of to achieve good, and not the possibility to misuse it for evil. That was that second big period of spirit. Yes.